Part 7, Chapter 4.
I'm sorry, gentlemen,
said Johnny to his counsel. They were seated on some bashed-up chairs in what had become Johnny's combined quarters and office, a spacious room that overlooked most of the area, chosen because it had whole windows, not because it had once apparently been the office of some school official. Johnny pointed to the stacks of books.
I have searched through everything I can find and am unable to locate it.
Robert the Fox, Dr. McDermott, the parson, and the schoolmaster sat glumly looking at him. He never tried to fool them about anything. One thing about McTyler, he was honest with them. Things had been going well, too, almost too well. The young men were progressing marvelously in their ability to handle equipment. There had been only one casualty with the flying trucks. Two trainees had been attacking each other's trucks in the air, in simulated combat, and one of the young lads had punched a wrong button at the wrong time and hit the ground. He was lying in the infirmary now, leg properly set by the parson and attended by the clucking old widows. The flying truck, according to Kerr, who came over to fix it, was fit only to be cannibalized. The three young men who looked like Johnny had bruised hands from the schoolmaster's ruler. The schoolmaster kept them at the instruction machines from dawn to noon when they went off to study vehicles. They were learning cyclo under heavy pressure and doing it very well. Several young men had caught wild horses and broken them to ride, and they rounded up wild cattle and shot deer, so there was no lack of food. Radishes and lettuce brightened their fare, proud trophies of the old women's garden. In fact, everyone was working like fury, and the place looked like an anthill all day.
Perhaps,
said Dr. McDermott,
we could help you look.
He gestured at the books.
If you'd tell us exactly what it is we're to be locating.
It's uranium. The key to this battle is uranium.
Ah, yes. It isn't harmful to humans, but is deadly to cyclos.
It is harmful to humans,
said Johnny, pointing to a toxicology text.
Given too much exposure to it, some humans die rather frightfully. But it apparently ignites the breathe gas of cyclos and makes it explode. It is uniformly fatal to them. These mountains,
he continued, sweeping his hand toward the mountains outlined by the sunset behind them,
are supposed to have been full of uranium. I know definitely the cyclos believe they are. You can't force a cyclo up into them. The demon Turl is going to send us into those mountains to find, probably, gold. He has undoubtedly spotted some. We may or may not mine the gold. Probably we would have to keep going, but we could also mine uranium.
And you can't locate any,
said Dr. McDermott. Johnny shook his head.
There's even lists of uranium mines, but they're all marked mined out, mine closed, that sort of thing.
Must have been very valuable,
said Robert the Fox.
They list a lot of uses for it, mainly military.
The parson rubbed his nose thoughtfully.
Would your own village people know anything?
No. They're one of the proofs that there is uranium up there. That's why I have not taken you gentlemen there, much as I would like to. I'm certain their illnesses and inability to reproduce have a lot to do with uranium.
It doesn't seem to have affected you, McTyler,
smiled the parson.
I wandered a lot and was not home much of the time, and some are affected more than others, perhaps.
Heredity,
said Dr. McDermott.
Over the centuries, some of you may have developed a resistance or an immunity. They would not know.
Johnny shook his head.
I haven't gone up there because I don't want to stir them up. The recon drone flies daily, but one day soon I must find a way to move them, and a place to move them to. No, they would know nothing about uranium, or they would have long since quit that valley. We do have to solve this problem. It is the center of every plan.